My name is Clara Wickland. I am 23 years old. Today is March 2nd, 2018, and I'm speaking with my grandpa, Rodney Anderson, and we are recording this interview in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So my first question for you, Grandpa, is can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what you were like as a child?
I've been told that I was the well-behaved youngest. I was the youngest son, and I had two older brothers, one of which was a little devil, I'm told by my mother and father. And my oldest brother, Orv, was a model for me. He was very important. And I thought he was funny, and he was quiet, and I probably emulated him more than anybody else. My parents were not outwardly so, but were loving parents. They were they loved each other, and they were very caring parents in my growing up.
What do you mean by not outwardly? Like, what were they like?
Well, I mean, they did not show emotion. I suppose mm-hmm. that in part is the stereotypical Scandinavian. They just were not outwardly loving. There was not a lot of hugging and kissing in our household.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there might have been more of that if I had been what I was supposed to be, which was their daughter. my mother especially, very much wanted a Karen, and I turned out to be another boy. But I think her great hope was to have a daughter, and she had grown up in an environment totally of men. Her mother died when she was very young in the influenza epidemic of 1918. And so she lived in a world of men and wanted not only a daughter, but a good female friend. And I was to be that. And so I was a disappointment.
What did your parents do, or what did your dad do for a living, I guess?
My dad was a hardworking truck driver salesman for Feinberg Sausage Company. And the time of my growing up, earlier he had worked during World War II as a government inspector at Armour's, a meat processing plant. All of my childhood, every Saturday, he worked as a butcher up at a local grocery store.
Do you remember the name?
Yeah, well, it was First National Grocery Store. The name of the sausage company was Feinberg's Kosher Sausage Company. So we always had lots and lots of hot dogs and salamis at our house. Uh-huh. And at any rate, he was a hard-working guy. My mother worked outside the home periodically as a telephone operator. She, I can remember part of my growing up where she would often work a late shift, and so my dad and I would take her to work after he got home, and then come back home, and she would, and then my dad would pick her up, late at night.
Mm.
But she, I think that was about the only time she worked out of the home, which was mm-hmm. for the telephone company. And she said, "Number, please," which was the way we operated in those days.
What were some of your favorite meals that you had at home? Or what were some of the meals that were cooked a lot? Or things you ate?
Well, we had spaghetti. That we had often. And it was something, that, of course, that everybody liked. I think cooking was not my mother's favorite thing to do. She did. She did cook and lots of hot dishes and lots of soups. Mm-hmm. I remember the soups, especially pea soup. But she was not a somebody who loved to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was always up in the morning. He left to go to work usually by 6 o'clock at least, and so he was gone during the day. But he was always home at supper.
What are some of your memories of going to school, and where did you go?
Well, school, the grade school, Farnsworth Grade School, was 5 blocks from our house. I lived on Wheelock Parkway in St. Paul, that's on the east side, and our house was right across Wheelock Parkway from the Phelan Golf Course. So I grew up in the most ideal place I could imagine. It was, and I understood it at that time, that I grew up across the street from a playground and in a large park, and a lake was just a half mile away. And so school, going to Farnsworth, was walking 5 blocks the other way. But I was always happy that I walked to school. And all of my buddies, every day, we walked back and forth to school. And I remember all the houses along the way. And school was something I enjoyed. I remember each of my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember who the smart kids were and who wasn't as smart, but you know, it was a positive experience. I had 2 older brothers who were often with books. They were studying. One, you know, was 4 years older than I was, and was, you know, in high school when I was in grade school, and later in college when I was in high school, and an older brother, Orv, who was in college when I was in grade school, and they lived at home, and they brought books home, and I have this powerful image of my brother Orv sitting in the chair with a pencil and a book and underlining, and I thought that was the neatest thing in the world. But I had a good experience in grade school. All of my teachers but one were women. And they were, for the most part, women in their 50s and 60s, I suspect. And some were nicer than others.
Mm-hmm. Are there any memories in particular that stick out to you, positive or negative?
Yeah, they will come to me if we talk a while longer. Yeah. But
did you get into any trouble?
No, hardly ever. But what I remember best about the experience was going to school with my friends, mostly boy friends. We had, for whatever reason, lots of boys in the neighborhood about my age. And also, we were right across the street from the park, so those who didn't live in the neighborhood came to the park. So I saw all my friends every day, and no matter the season. The best season was winter, where we could not only, you know, skate and play hockey and ski if we wanted to, but we would make the ice, we would flood the rink, we would do all sorts of things that got us there and out of the house. And my parents, I don't think, ever worried about my not being at the house. They knew I was right over the hill. I forgot where we started. At any rate, I felt very fortunate. I knew that I was living in a special place. It was, I would say, lower middle class. Although there was a shop owner on our block, there was a doctor who lived a block down. My best friend growing up was the son of a doctor. But most of them were working people, worked at the foundry, worked at what we called Minnesota Mining at the time. They were hourly wage workers. Two of my friends had fathers who worked for the railroad. Mm. Almost, I would say, more than 50% of them, the mothers were stay-at-home. Mm. They did not work outside the house.
Mm-hmm. And what were the immigrant populations living around
you at the time? We had almost no first-generation immigrants. Mm. It was predominantly, second generation. My mm-hmm. own folks were, their parents had been born in the old country. So my grandparents came from, in our case, Sweden. Mm-hmm. But it was an ethnically diverse community, but there was also, people stayed with their ethnic groups. There was a large Polish delegation of second generation immigrants who gathered around St. Casimir's Church, a Polish mm-hmm. church. There were three Lutheran churches that were predominantly Scandinavian, Gustavus Adolphus, Arlington Hills, and there was one Lutheran church which was almost totally Norwegian, East Emmanuel. I went, for whatever reason, to a church, a small Lutheran church that its background was German. I didn't know it at the time, but during the war, that part of its roots was de-emphasized and not mentioned. I grew up at a high school where, there were these immigrant neighborhoods and immigrant groups, but very much not valuing the old world experience, wanting to be Americans, mm-hmm. and embarrassed if their parents had an accent. Mm-hmm. Very much, they were Americans and wanted to be viewed in that way. Mm-hmm. I, being second generation, I think was much more interested in our European roots than my mom and dad were, mm-hmm. at least initially. Mm-hmm.
And maybe, do you want to describe kind of the journey from Sweden and the names of your grandparents? Because I know you've told me that story before, but it's pretty amazing because she had 13.
Well, kids. On my dad's side, my dad was one of 11 children, and his mother, Clara, was the grandparent I knew best, but she was very old. I was the youngest son of the second youngest of 11 children. So most of my cousins were older. In some cases, they were a generation older. Mm-hmm. My dad's best friend was his cousin. His nephew. Mm-hmm. On my mother's side, my dad's side, his father, Andrew, who I did not know, came over with a guarantee from the Great Northern Railroad of passage from New York to St. Paul and a job in St. Paul. Hmm. And he worked for the railroad. He had left his bride-to-be, they were not married, pregnant in Sweden. Hmm. And that's Clara. And Clara... my grandpa Andrew was able to bring Clara over, Clara's mother over, and Clara's sister over. Now, a lot of that was because they were encouraging immigrants not only to come and work for the railroad, but to come and stay on land from the Homestead Act. Mm-hmm. My grandfather Andrew died of a heart attack when most of the family was still young. Hmm. And Grandma Clara raised those 11 kids. And one by one, they left the small farm, 40 acres north of St. Paul, and went to the city to work. And that was the pattern. You got to a certain age, it was time to leave home and also help support home.
So was she she did most of the work on the farm too, or did she?
Well, she did, and until the children were old enough to work it. And it wasn't a very prosperous farm,
Do you remember what they farmed?
Well, it was mostly a truck farm where they grew vegetables. They had, I think at one point, a dozen cows. They made, cream and butter, and it was a small-scale, really sustaining, just self-sustaining farm. Mm-hmm. And one by one, the children in the family would leave the farm and go to town to get a job, or in one case, to find another piece of land and farm. But how my grandmother Clara did it, they were poor.
Yeah.
They were just plain poor, as were most people in their area. They did not, and they were poor, but they, once a month they would dance on Saturday night, and somebody would find a jug, and there was always a fiddler and an accordion player. So there was that dimension, which I caught some of growing up.
Didn't your parents like to dance?
Oh, they loved to dance. Yeah.
And they dance? Where did they dance again? The hall in.
Well, there was the hall in Hugo, was I think later became the Catholic Church there or the ground there, where did Char and Gary? But there was another place that they would go often, and it'll come to me later.
Well, this stopped for some reason. Let me see. I might need to clear some space. Let me see if. This is really interesting. Okay.
I'm sorry to do this.
No, you should do that.
But that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we should be good to go. I just need to start again. We're starting part two of the interview. I had to delete some.
Maybe he fell asleep. I didn't hear anything.
Well, you can add things later.
Yeah. Well, I'm not adding anything to your history.
Okay, so we left off. Okay, I'm going to start it again.